Let us humble our hearts again before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we again come before you, seeking a blessing on this day. Open our understanding, Father, and our hearts that we will receive the implanted word, that we would understand, Father, the calling that you've given each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to fulfill that calling, to shout to you today, to repent and show our love for you, Father. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us again, Father, for any sin that we've committed against you, because it's only against you that we've sinned. Father, we ask for a blessing. And we ask, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive that blessing today. Bless your ministry and bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, Father. We ask that you would especially be with Raphael and his family and their during their period of loss. And we ask, Father, that you would strengthen them through your word and that you would touch hearts and cause many to turn to you. We know, Father, just through what we've received through emails and people who have come through the website who are seeking your truth, Father, we ask that you would open the windows of heaven and bless them with the things that they have need of, whether it's finance, spiritual healings, Father. We ask, Father, that you would touch their body and that you would touch their hearts and minds, that they would continue to seek you and do that which is right in your sight. Again, we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whom gave his life that we might have an opportunity at life everlasting. Let us yield, Father. Let us submit. Let us be humble servants of yours as we seek to be a part of that soon kingdom to come when Yahshua returns in the very near future. It's in Yahshua's holy name that we come before you, asking all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, A Day of Shouting, A Day of Judgment. The purpose of the shofar is to wake Yahweh's people from their spiritual slumber, to cause them to see the signs of the times and to remind them to examine the spiritual condition of their lives. It seems very few people know where they are spiritually all the time. So many people are seemingly slumbering, they're asleep. Turn to Numbers chapter 10 for our first scripture. Numbers chapter 10. We'll start in verse 1. It says, And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Make yourselves two trumpets of silver, of beaten work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for the calling of the congregation, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow them, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the door of the tent of meeting. So the call went out today to draw the people of Israel to worship. And if they blow out, and if they blow but one, the princes and the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves to you. And when you blow an alarm, the camps that lie on the east side shall take their journey. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. So when the shofar is blown, it's blown for several different purposes. When you want to gather the congregation together or the assembly, You blow, but you don't blow the alarm. So is the alarm sounding today, brethren? Is what's being heard on the shofar, is what being blown today an alarm? Verse 8, and the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow the trumpets, and they shall be to you for a statute forever throughout your generation. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh, your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemy. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your set feast, and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifice of your peace offerings, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So we see there are several reasons to blow the shofar or the trumpet. Now, the silver trumpets were kind of expensive to make in those days. So, of course, the priests, it says the sons of Aaron, blew those silver trumpets. But the general folk, they had ram's horns. They had the shofars because they were readily available. And in the time of Gideon, when the 300 trumpet blasts were blown, they were blowing the shofars. So all throughout today is a day of blowing of the shofar, the trumpet. It's a call to attention. Just like someone in they hear reveille being blown in the military. They know it's a call to attention. Okay? Exodus chapter 19, a day of judgment. See, a day of shouting and a day of judgment. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and set them before all the world words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to Yahweh. Have we said that? All of the words that Yahweh has spoken to us we will do. When we accepted that covenant of Almighty Yahweh, we said yes. We said the same thing. We agreed. And Moses reported the words of the people to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, lo, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For the third day Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Now this was during Pentecost, that first Pentecost after they came out from Egypt, when he gave them the commandment. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It was going to be a time of judgment, brethren. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount. So that shofar blast, that trumpet blast, was a calling of the assembly, a calling to be gathered. And Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready by the third day, come not near a woman. And it came to pass on the third day when it was morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mount, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud. And all the people that went in their camp trembled, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet Elohim. And they stood at the lower part of the mount. And Mount Sinai, the whole of it smoked because Yahweh descended on it in fire. And the smoke of it ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. And Elohim answered him by a voice. Now who was blowing that trumpet? It was coming out of heaven. That trumpet sound is a sound that Yahweh gives for us to be drawn to him. He's calling us out. It's a day of judgment, brethren, a day of the calling of assembly. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. It says, but immediately after the tribulation, of those days the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels at the sound of the great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We know that this is going to happen at the last day, after that great day of Yahweh. But it says immediately after the tribulation that this trumpet sound would happen, that great trumpet. So we know that there are things that are going to happen that we have to be prepared for. So today in our lives, as we prepare for that day of Yahshua's second coming, we must get our spiritual lives in order, brethren. We are in for a spiritual wake-up call right now. We must get our spiritual houses in order. 1 Corinthians. The reason I'm reading these scriptures now and this portion of the message, because I want you to be thinking about what we have to do to be ready for when Yahshua returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start in verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Who's going to be there? Two-thirds of the population is going to be destroyed during the tribulation. And I'm telling you now that the one-third that goes through, it says flesh and blood. Okay? But I believe he's speaking of those who are able to make a decision. Those who are able to be baptized. We're not talking about the children, because we know that there's going to be a third of the population that are coming through that tribulation. And that's going to be the children that are under the age of accountability that's going to be able to go into the kingdom. See? So, keep this in mind. Behold, verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, at that great trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then the saying shall come to pass that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim who gives us the victory through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Because we're going to be ready if we're keeping each and every one of the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. We're going to be there. We're going to be ready to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Because we are tied into the victory of Yahshua the Messiah. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I use this on Sabbath, but I'm using it again because these all tie together with Psalm 81 and several passages that are very, very appropriate for today. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, give ear, you heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain on the tender grass, and as the showers on the earth. For I will proclaim the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our Elohim. The rock, his work is perfect. And I'm not talking about Mr. Johnson, the rock. I'm talking about Yahshua the Messiah. See? His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, and El of faithfulness, and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Yahweh is always just with his people. He's a righteous, mighty one. He wants us to be righteous as he is. He wants us to follow in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are not his children. It is their blemish. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Is this how you repay Yahweh, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father that has bought you? The term bought, I said the other day, is a merchant, is Canaan. Okay? And we have all been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. He cleanses us from all our sins. Verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, you elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the children of men, and there's a passage in there, Genesis 10:25. You don't have to turn there. Just write it in your notes. He set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He compassed him about. He cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Yahweh has taken note of each and every one of his servants, those who have committed themselves to him. As we stand before the judgment seat today, brethren, and for the next 9 days, as we are going through the days of awe in preparation for atonement, the at-one-ment with Yahweh, we have to get rid of any sin that is within us. In verse 11, it says, as an eagle that stirs up her nest, that flutters over her young. This is what Yahweh is doing for us. He spreads abroad his wings. He took them. He bore them on his pinions. Yahweh alone led him, and there was no foreign El with him. We had no idols in our hearts. He made him to ride upon the high places of the earth, and he ate the increase of the field, the best of the wheat, as it said in Psalm 81. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter and of the herd and milk of the flock with the fat lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat and the blood of the grape you drank wine. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked, the upright one. Those that had the commandment, they rebelled. You have become fat. You have grown thick. You have become sleek. Then he forsook the Elohim. He forsook the Elohim who made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. We can't do that, brother. We can't lightly esteem Yahshua the Messiah. We have to keep Yahshua as the forefront and the apple of our eye, just as Yahweh has kept us as the apple of his eye. They moved him to jealousy with strange Elohim. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to demons which were no Elohim, to Elohim that they knew not, to new Elohim that came up of late, which your father dreaded not. Of the rock that procreated you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the El that gave you birth. How often do you forget the mother that gave you birth? See, a lot of people, when they grow up, when they get to a point in their lives that they think that they've made it, they forget where they came from. We can't forget what Yahweh has done for us, brethren. We can't forget the blessings he bestowed upon his people, Israel. And Yahweh abhorred it. He saw it and abhorred them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very perverse generation, children in whom there is no faithfulness. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not El. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity. And truly this has happened even today with most of Yahweh's people. And I move them to jealousy with those that are not my a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest Sheol and devours the earth with its increase. I will, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns in the lowest Sheol and devours the earth with its increase and sets on fire the foundations of the mountain. I will heap evils upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured with burning heat and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts will I send upon them, with the poison of crawling things of the dust. Outside shall the sword rob them, and in the chambers terror. It shall destroy both young man and virgin, the suckling with the man of gray hairs. I said I will scatter them afar. I will make them to the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the tongue of the enemy, lest their adversaries should judge amiss, lest they should say our hand is exalted and Yahweh has not done all this. And they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And this is what we need to be concerned with, brethren, our latter end. Are we going to be in the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh? Are we going to be able to get through these 9 days and be able to stand before Yahweh on the Day of Atonement? Drop down to verse 35. It says, vengeance is mine and recompense at the time when their foot shall slide, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that are to come upon them shall make haste. For Yahweh will judge his people. He's going to judge his people. And repent himself for his servants. When he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining shut up or left at large. And he will say, where are their Elohim, the rock in which they took refuge? Which ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no Elohim with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my adversaries and will recompense them that hate me. We don't want Yahweh to do that to us, brethren. We want Yahweh to uphold us. We want to receive the blessings from Almighty Yahweh and not his curses. Turn to Isaiah chapter 24. Today is a day of shouting, a day of judgment. And as that judgment falls, brethren, we don't want it to fall on us. We want Yahweh to have mercy on us. Chapter 24 of Isaiah, verse 1, it says, behold, Yahweh makes the earth empty and makes it waste, and turns it upside down and scatters abroad the inhabitants of it. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. And as with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. As with the taker of interest, so with the giver of interest to him. The earth shall be utterly emptied and utterly laid waste, for Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The lofty people of the earth languish. The earth is polluted under the inhabitants of it. because they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. This is the reason the judgment has fallen on the earth, brethren, because they violated Yahweh's commandment. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell in it are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and a few men left. The new wine mourns, and the vine languishes. All the merry-hearted sigh. The mirth of tabret ceases. The noise of them who rejoice ends. The joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with strong drink, with song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The waste city is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is crying in the streets because of the wine. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation. And the gate is struck with destruction. For thus shall it be in the middle of the earth among the peoples, as the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleaning when the vintage is done. In other words, things are going to get scarce. These shall lift up their voice. They shall shout. A day of shouting, brethren. For the majesty of Yahweh, they cry aloud from the sea. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in the west, east. Even the name of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, in the isles of the sea. From the utmost parts of the earth have we heard psalms. Glory to the righteous. In Israel, the shofar was blown for several reasons. Number one, to mark the arrival of the new moon. Number two, to celebrate a simcha, a joyous occasion. Number three, to proclaim liberty, like in the Jubilee year. Number four, to hail a king at his coronation. Number five, to warn of impending judgment. Number six, to gather the troops to battle. And number seven, to sound an alarm. The watchman is blowing the sound and alarm. Eight, to call a sacred assembly and a time of fasting. Number nine, to confuse the enemy camp. Or number ten, to draw Yahweh's attention. Today the rabbis will perform a special ceremony called the Tashlik, the casting off. It is a ritual that is performed, involves reciting Micah 7, 18 to 19. And other verses as sin is symbolically cast off and carried away by tossing bits of bread or other foods into a body of water, such as a stream, a river, a lake, a pond, or a sea. Turn with me to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 18. It says, who is an El like you that pardons iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. And you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will perform the truth to Jacob and the loving kindness to Abraham, which you have sworn. Which you have sworn. To our fathers from the days of old. the final trumpet. Before I get into the final trumpet, I'm going to read a couple other things. The Feast of Trumpets shares the Day of Atonement with the Day of Atonement two fundamental differences from the other festivals. First, both feasts were not connected with any special historical or national event. They were seen as universal and the most personal celebrations, a time for the individual to stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh, seeking forgiveness and cleansing. Second, both feasts were observed not like the other festivals in a spirit of exalted joyfulness, but in a spirit of intense moral and spiritual introspection. As befits a plaintiff coming before the supreme judge and ruler of the universe, appealing for his life. And this is what happens. The people come before Almighty Yahweh, and they are asking and pleading for their lives. The description of the feast as a day of blowing is not impressive because the shofar was blown at the beginning of each month, which we see in Numbers 10:10. Moreover, the phrase a day of blowing is not the actual title of the feast, but only a distinguishing characteristic of the day. While the other appointed feasts are given a name, the Sabbath, the Passover, the Day of Atonement, this feast has no title. It's simply Yom Teruah, a day of blowing. Since the blowing of the trumpets became the distinguishing characteristics of the day, it became known as the Feast of Trumpets. And the feast that called people to prepare to stand before the judgment of Yahweh. The text gives no specific reason for observing the Feast of Trumpets. This is surprising because the Bible usually gives the reasons for the observance of the feast. Apparently, the reason was self-evident. In this book, The Jewish Festivals, Rabbi S. M. Lehrman notes that the Bible, which usually gives the reason for every observance, does not do so in the case of trumpets. Deeming the spiritual well-being of the individual too obvious to require comment, to subsequent teachers we owe the picture of a day of judgment on which all mortals pass before the heavenly throne to give an account of their deeds and to receive the promise of mercy. Because this is what we're looking for from Almighty Yahweh. We're looking for mercy. But for us to gain that mercy, we have to humble ourselves. We have to be willing to get rid of all our sins. Now, there's a controversy with the Jewish people that call this the head of the year, Rosh Hashanah, or New Year. But we know the Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the seventh month. It's not the beginning of the year. But just like we have a civil New Year, even in America, which starts on July 1st, okay, or fiscal year, yeah, because the New Year begins January 1st here. But in the Jewish calendar, religious calendar, which regulate the feast, Yahweh tells us that our days will begin in the month Abib, in the spring. It says, this month shall be to you the beginning of month. In Deuteronomy 16:1, and it shall be the first month of the year for you. The civil and the agricultural year, as well as the sabbatical and jubilee year, began in the autumn with the seventh month, which after the Babylonian exile became known as Tishri. If it seems strange that the Jews should begin their civil year on the seventh month, it may be well to remember that even in our society, the fiscal year for many organizations began, like I said, in July 1st. Some countries, I think it's in June, but we do it July 1st at the end of after June 30th. Brethren, as we come before Almighty Yahweh, the blowing of the shofar, the unique feature of the ritual of the Feast of Trumpets, where the blowing of an instrument, this is reflected in the biblical name Yom Teruah, a day of blowing, from Numbers 29:1. Historically, the instrument blown on Yom Teruah has been the shofar, that is a curved ram's horn. In fact, the feast came to be identified as the Feast of the Shofar, or Yom Teruah. Surprisingly, however, the biblical texts cited above do not name the instrument to be used. The feast is simply referred to as Yom Teruah, that is, a day of blowing. A blowing, teruah, a sound could be produced with a trumpet, a horn, or cymbal. The texts do not give us a clue as to the identity of the instrument to be blown, but we know that the Feast of Trumpets, and they blew the ram's horn, the shofar. But it's also a day of shouting, so people could shout to get Yahweh's attention. The shofar is used a call to repentance, to appreciate the significance of the blowing of the shofar on trumpets. We need to look at the progressive nuances of its symbolism that we find in the Old Testament. The prophets used the metaphor of the shofar to call the people to repentance and return to Yahweh. For example, the prophet Joel called for a blast of the shofar in Zion to impress the people with the needed repentance. Blow the trumpet, the shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. In Joel 2:15, Joel may be referring figuratively, if not literally, to the Feast of Trumpets, since he mentions it. Its three major characteristics: the shofar, and then the fast and the solemn assembly. During the religious reform of King Asa, the Israelites entered into a covenant to seek Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, with all their hearts and all their souls in 2 Chronicles 15:12. And they sealed their oath with trumpets and with horns, the shofar, 2 Chronicles 15:14. Isaiah explicitly associated the sound of the shofar with an admonition against sin. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice as a trumpet, the shofar. Declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. In Isaiah 58:1. Today is a day of blowing of trumpets, a day of shouting, a day of judgment. And that final trumpet, we're going to turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Yahweh is trying to prepare people for himself. These next 9 days are critical. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh comes. For it is near at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains. A great and strong people There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after them, even the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns, and the land as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yes, and none has escaped them. Drop down to verse 12 of Joel chapter 2. It says, yet even now, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart. And this is what Yahweh wants us to do. This is what repentance is about. Turning to Yahweh with all your heart. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garment. And turn to Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant and loving kindness. And he repents concerning the evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering to Yahweh, your Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of Yahweh, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Yahweh, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their Elohim? The faithful ones of Yahweh will be hidden of Yahweh. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of Yahweh is near, and it hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh. The mighty man cries there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high battlements. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yahweh. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make an end, yes, a terrible end, of all them that dwell on the earth, Haaretz, the land. The faithful ones of Yahweh will be hidden of Yahweh during this time of trouble. If we have truly repented and humbly awaiting Yahshua's return, being lights among the people, Almighty Yahweh will spare us. Prepare yourselves for the day of atonement, by getting rid of your sins. Today, cast them off and seek Yahweh while he may be found. We're going to, Zephaniah chapter 2, we're going to read there verses 1 to 3. It says, gather yourselves together, gather together, O nation that has no shame, before the decree brings forth, before the day passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yahweh comes upon you, before the day of Yahweh's anger comes upon you. Seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth, that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that it may be hid, that you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And our closing scripture is going to be, actually I got a couple more. We're going to start in Isaiah 55. Verse 6. Again, we need to seek Yahweh while he may be found. Isaiah 55:6. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it to bring forth and to bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The final trumpet is going to be blown, brethren. And this actually is the sixth angel sounded in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 9. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh, and then drop down to verse 20. You can read this later about the third part of men that will be killed at that time. But it says, and the rest of mankind who are not killed with these plagues repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, and the idols of gold, and of silver, and of brass, and of stone, and of wood, which can neither see nor hear, nor walk. And they repented not of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 is our last scripture. Revelation 14:7. It says, and he says with a great voice, fear Yahweh and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And this is what we have to do, brethren, as we prepare for that final trumpet. We need to fear Yahweh on this day of shouting, in this day of final judgment, a day of judgment. Almighty Yahweh is calling the people out that fears him, that are willing to get rid of all their sin so that Yahweh will cast them into the sea. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you examine your lives, as you look in your heart and see the things that you need to change, and give glory to Almighty Yahweh, who is seeking a people for his own possession. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you keep this day holy. And we'll close. If you all rise at this time, we'll close with a word of prayer. Stand up. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts again before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name. for this, your high Sabbath day, your holy day, Father, which you've called us out of this sinful world. The rest of the world is out doing their own business, regardless of what it might be. But they are not yielding to you, Father. We are here. We have humbled ourselves to come before you to give glory to your holy name. We ask, Father, that you would spare us, that you would bless us, that you would give us an opportunity, Father, to get rid of all our sins between now and the Day of Atonement. We ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and that you would cause more to come before you, that they would yield, Father, yield to you, because we know that it's only against you that we've sinned. And we ask, Father, that you would forgive us and help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil, because truly we do love you, and we thank you for the blessings from on high. We've taken this time out to give glory to your holy name, and we ask, Father, that you would bless your servants in these last days. In the name of your Son and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, we come before you, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to remember as well that today is a holy day, and we want to keep it holy for the rest of the day. We'll get together around, I guess, sundown is right around a little after 7. So we'll get together around, say, 7 o'clock and close out the high day. For our closing song, yes, that's 7 o'clock Eastern time. I think most know that. But for our closing song, we'll be singing, again, Shout to Yahweh, number 31.